In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. The beginning of the letter to the Hebrews, the scripture says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto our fathers by the prophets. And we see that in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, that God spoke in sundry times and in fragmentary ways through the prophets to the patriarchs. He spoke through Elijah. He spoke through Elisha. He spoke through Isaiah. He spoke through Hosea. And you must always remember that God, the God of Israel, is the God who speaks, the God who acts. He is not the God of the philosophers. He does not sit on a cloud just watching his people. He is the God who is the God of revelation, really. He is the God who reveals himself. And, you know, God revealed himself in the Old Testament, starting with Abraham. And he revealed himself as the God who is and was and is to come, as the God of Israel through Jacob, as the God who brought the people through the sea, as the God who fed his people with manna, as the God who spoke to his people and warned his people through prophets. But you see, when we have the Old Covenant, we have the shadow. It's a shadow. And in the New Covenant, we have the substance. And there's a difference between shadow and substance. In the Old Covenant, it was what was to come would be greater than what has already happened. It was a shadow. You see, in the times past, God spoke in fragmentary ways, partial ways through the prophets. But in these last days, I love that word, last days. The last days began at Calvary. In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. No longer does he speak to us in fragmentary ways, but he speaks to us through his Son. The Son who is the representation of the Father. The Son who is the exact image of God. The Son who was eternally begotten of the Father from all eternity. The Son who is and who was and who is to come. The Son who became flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. God in these last days speaks to us through his Son. And you see, that's why I get very, very upset. I had the radio on last night, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and the man was going to be talking about healing, but had nothing to do with the Son. It had nothing to do with Jesus. I turned it right off, you know. It was on. It put me to sleep, whatever it was that put me to sleep. And then I woke up to this guy who was going to talk about healing. But you see, unless healing comes through the Son, I don't want healing. I don't want anything that doesn't come through the Son. I don't want to know anything that doesn't come through the Son. If it comes through the Son, it's pure. If it comes through Jesus Christ, it's pure. If it comes through Jesus Christ, it comes from the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. But you see, today, people talk about healing. They talk about lots of things, but they don't talk about the Son. They don't talk about Jesus. And there are lots and lots and lots and lots of things that are going on that have nothing to do with Jesus. And people get in trouble. People get in trouble. And if you want to get in trouble, that's fine. Delve into healing without Jesus Christ. If you want to get into trouble, delve into wisdom without Jesus Christ. You will get into trouble. You will, because the Son is the eternal Son of the Father. The Son has spoken, and the Father has spoken completely in the Son. The Son is the full revelation of the Father. He is God and man. The Son is benign. The Son is holy. The Son cares for us. The Son gave His life for us. In various and sundry ways and in fragmentary ways, God spoke through the prophets. But now He speaks through His Son. And the Son is the center of history. It's His story, history. The Son is the center of history. All time revolves around the Son. Now, I know in the past they've started to take away that B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Annos Dominus, in the year of the Lord, because now they want you to think it's A.C.E. and B.C.E., you know, before the Common Era and after the Common Era. But the Common Era has to do with the Son. It still is Jesus. The Common Era has to do with the birth of Jesus, okay? You see, all history goes around Jesus. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, the scripture says in the Colossians, it says that in Him all things hold together, in the Son, in Jesus. But you know what? Apart from Him, all things fall apart. And you know, that's real. And maybe that's what you're experiencing in your life today. In Jesus, all things hold together. Apart from Jesus, all things fall apart. The Son holds everything together by His eternal word in the power of the Spirit. The Son is able to hold everything together in your life if He's the center of your life. But apart from Him, everything falls apart. That's why we can never graduate from Jesus. That's why we can never graduate from the Son of God. That's why we can never have enough of Jesus. And you know what? When people get into the spiritual kick, you know, they go from one thing to the next. That, you know, people say, you know, I'm spiritual. Well, you don't say, yeah. You're spiritual. Isn't that good? But where is that spirit? And who is that spirit? And what spirit are you connected to? See, I always need to know that, because, you see, if you're not connected to the cross, you're not connected to the blood, you're not connected to the Christ who died and rose from the dead, you're in another realm, and you're not being protected. I'm spiritual. Well, you can be as spiritual as you want. See, I'm physical, but I'm also spiritual, but my grounding is in the Son. I don't want anything apart from Jesus. I don't want anything apart from Jesus. All the power in the world, if it came apart from Jesus, you can keep it. Today, the world will be celebrating the life of Michael Jackson, the poor, poor man. That's all I can say. He's the poor, poor man. You see, I'm not judging the man. I'm just telling you, his life was a life of power. He didn't know how to handle power. He was always empty, always looking for more. He tried to fill it up with goods. Tried to fill it up with shopping expeditions, tried to fill it up with Neverland, tried to fill it up with whatever he tried to fill it up with, fame, fortune. But you see, he needed the Son. He needed Jesus. And isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that people were around him that never, never brought him to the Son? So it seems. So it seems. I don't know if that's true. So it seems. Isn't it sad that no one ever brought him to the cross? Never brought him to the forgiveness of his sins? Isn't it sad? You know, it's kind of like a big circus, this funeral now. Now they're even having raffles. Who's going to get in to the funeral? It's a big It's like a circus. He lived a horror show in life, and he dies as a circus. It's very sad. It's very sad. And where were people to bring him to the sun, to bring him to Jesus? I don't know. But you see, this reality of the sun must be the greatest reality in the church. This reality of Jesus must be the greatest reality in the church. Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd. Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. Jesus, whom the Father has spoken through, and the Father can say nothing else but my Son, Jesus. Jesus, who reveals himself to people still. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus. Our faith as Christians must be Christ-centered. The Son reveals the Father. The Father and the Son pour out the Holy Spirit. Our faith must be Christ-centered. But you could go to so many churches and never hear the name of Jesus. Jesus is all the church has. Let me just tell you that. Jesus Christ is all that the church has. We have nothing apart from Jesus. The church holds together in Jesus. When we divorce ourselves from Jesus and we take on another model, a business model, the model of the world, the church begins to fall apart. It doesn't always happen at once, you know. It takes time for it to happen. It catches up with you. And you know, it all starts with the lack of preaching about Jesus, with the lack of love for the person of Jesus by the preacher. It all starts there. Because when you can't speak about Jesus, and you can't speak about his mercy and about his love and about his revelation, that he reveals things today, and about his healing power and about his mercy and about his justice, if you can't speak about Jesus, like, what are you going to speak about? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Therefore, the topic is always Jesus. This week we saw in the gospel that the people of Nazareth, where Jesus was reared, they knew who he was. They knew who he was. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is he not the son of Mary? So they knew him so well, but they didn't know him at all. You know, it always makes me laugh, you know. People know me so well, and they don't know me at all. You know, when we can thumbnail somebody, we think we know somebody. You know, people say, he's the healing priest. Well, you know what, I'm much more than that. Or he's the charismatic. I'm much more than that. Or he's the radio priest. I'm much more than that. Or he's the 50s priest. I'm much more than that. If you can't pin me down, how can we pin Jesus down? You see what I'm saying? If you can't pin me down, if you really can't pin, because, you know, who I am is much bigger than what the way people describe me. And I'm just a human being. I want to tell you, Jesus cannot be encompassed by our words. We can say this about Jesus or that about Jesus. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not Mary's son? Oh, yeah, but you missed him. You don't know who he is. You won't accept him for who he is. You want to make him who you want him to be. And you see, that's exactly what we've done in the church. We just want to make Jesus be who we want him to be, rather than allow Jesus to be Jesus. First of all, we have to allow Jesus to be Jesus to us. Jesus be Jesus to me. Jesus be Jesus to me. Allow Jesus to be who he is. A couple of weeks ago, we heard that the disciples took Jesus into the boat as he was. As he was. Not as they wanted him to be. Most people don't take Jesus as he is. They want nothing to do with Jesus. You know, we can talk about Allah. We can talk about Mohammed. We can even talk about the Blessed Mother. But when it comes to Jesus, people get upset. Because Jesus is always tied to the cross. Jesus is always tied to the sacrifice that he offered to the Father for us. Jesus is always tied to the blood that he shed, to the empty tomb. He's not only Jesus the miracle worker, but he's Jesus the Lord who conquered death and sin and the grave. The image of the invisible God. God speaks totally through Jesus. God has nothing else to say but my son Jesus. We hear the gospel, you know, in the Jordan River. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. On the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. When we hear the Father speak, when the Father speaks, it's always, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. In the Jordan, on the Mount of Transfiguration, my beloved, the son of my love. You see, the Father is in love with his son. Would that the church be in love with Jesus. Would that the church be in love with Jesus. Would that Christians be in love with Jesus. Would that we be in love with Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, whom the fullness of divinity is and the fullness of humanity. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Mary, born of the Holy Spirit. Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and casting out evil. Jesus of Nazareth, who died on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins and for our health. Jesus of Nazareth, who was buried and on the third day rose from the dead. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Mary. And yet, we'll hear people talk about evangelization. Oh, they have no idea what evangelization is. If you don't pray, if you don't preach Jesus, you have no idea about evangelization. They think evangelization is religion. They think evangelization is religion. Evangelization is not religion. Evangelization brings people to Jesus and Jesus to people. They think evangelization is going to church. Evangelization is not going to church. Evangelization is the proclamation of Jesus. God spoke in partial ways in the past, but now he speaks fully to his son. If the Father proclaims Jesus, this is my beloved son, what should the church be proclaiming? This is Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our healer. This is Jesus, true God, true man, Son of God, Son of Mary, great high priest. This is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. This is Jesus, the fullness of divinity. This is Jesus who emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. This is Jesus. Evangelization has to do with the proclamation of Jesus, not the proclamation of the church, not the proclamation of the law, not the proclamation of the Ten Commandments, but the proclamation of Jesus. And then we can teach them about the Ten Commandments. Then we can bring them into the church. But we have so many people that are church people that have no relationship with Jesus. That's Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox. We all get wrapped up in our own stuff. You know, some people get wrapped up in incense. Let's use the incense. I love incense, but I'm not going to get wrapped up in incense. Other people get wrapped up in doing good. I love doing good. But the essence is Jesus. I do good for the love of God. You know, we all get wrapped up in something. But, you know, who's wrapped up in Jesus? Who's wrapped up? That person that's wrapped up in Jesus will do the works that Jesus did. That person that's wrapped up in Jesus will love the poor. That person that's wrapped up in Jesus, God will use that person to bring salvation to people. It's all about Jesus. Oh yes, God did speak to us in various and fragmentary and diverse manners in the past. And he spoke to us through the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. In back of me is the ocean. It was the Son who spoke the world into existence, out of nothing. If you live in the mountains, it was the Son who spoke that terrain into existence. All things were made through him, and without him there was made nothing that has been made. It's all about him. And I hope that as you listen to what I have to say, even when I speak about the faults of the church, that we need to focus upon Jesus. And I'll give you the little poem that Sadie, a little Protestant lady, taught me. No one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. Oh, such wisdom in that little poem. No one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. Tonight is Tuesday. We'll be having Mass at the Holy Rosary. We'll continue revival tonight at 7:30. Mass and worship. If you'd like to come, you're so totally welcome at the Holy Rosary in Winthrop. Tomorrow is Wednesday. We will be at the Espousal Retreat House tomorrow. So, you know, bring your dancing shoes, bring your tambourines, bring your pots and pans. Come and worship the Lord tonight in holy attire. Come and praise his holy name because he's worthy of worship and praise. So tonight is Tuesday at the Holy Rosary. We will have Mass at 7:30, and we will continue to praise God and to worship him and extol the name of Jesus. During these days, I need to tell you that I need to hear from you. We are thousands of dollars in debt because of the economy. And if these broadcasts are a blessing to you, please write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. You know, if we don't pay our bills, I will be going off of stations, and I will not incur debt. I do not have the time or the inclination to incur debt, and I ask you to do the best that you can. That's all I can ask you to do, is the best that you can. And I have no more to say about it. But you know what? In Boston, it's raining again, and raindrops keep falling on your head. And if you need a roof, Jimmy the Roofer will be there to help you. And he's very inexpensive, and he's excellent. And his number is 617-846-1210. That's the rectory, and they'll give you his number. 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. As you start singing, raindrops keep falling on my head. 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. Today I want you to read the first chapter of Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews. Read it, and read it out loud. Let God touch your heart. Let God inspire you to the person of Jesus, because he's so much greater than Moses, so much greater than the prophets, so much greater than every teacher. He is the Lord. All things were made through him, and without him there was made nothing that was made. May Jesus Christ be praised, and remember, all things hold together in Jesus. But apart from Jesus, maybe that's why your life is falling apart. All things fall apart. Turn to Jesus. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.
In Season and Out of Season.